Welcome to the More College Podcast, a podcast of biblically sound, thought-provoking and challenging talks, sermons and seminars from More Theological College, delivered by More faculty and ministry workers from Sydney, Australia and beyond. Join us as we open the Bible together and share a life-giving, Christ-centered message. Have you ever been a member of a church community but feel like you don't really belong? Perhaps you feel like you have no one to talk to during the morning tea or supper after the service. Perhaps the other members are always doing social things together that don't include you. Or perhaps you just feel like your presence there doesn't really matter, and if you didn't come to church, no one would notice. In this episode of the More College Podcast, from a chapel service held on Tuesday, 13th of August, 2024, Chase Coon, rector of St. Matthias Church in Centennial Park in Sydney, and former More College lecturer in Christian Ethics, explores what 1 John 4 has to say about love, and therefore Christian community. He challenges us to reconsider the foundation of what Christian community is all about, and reminds us that it's the gospel, not ourselves or our relationships with our fellow Christians, that provides us with a more secure sense of belonging. We hope you enjoy the episode.
I don't think I actually knew how I'd feel getting back up here. It's quite overwhelming. It's really sweet. And there are many, many people here that I really, really care about. And I'm very grateful to be having this chance to stand before you and open God's word with you. At Matthias, we've been exploring what it means to be a transformed community, a community that is wonderfully different because of the gospel. And one of the things that I've been trying to persuade people is that Christian community is the best community in the world. I actually think that is a matter of fact. Not because it always feels that way, but because it's true. And I believe that I'm tapping into something that all of us are really wanting to belong to a community. I think innate within human beings is that desperate desire to belong in something stable and secure and loving. I think all of us want to know that. But the question I want to address today, or questions that I really want to explore, is how we know we really belong and what it means to really experience love. Insecurity, I think, is really the great enemy of our sense of belonging. I'm sure you can imagine that and why. I remember when I joined the faculty here at More College, I was the ripe old age of 32, and some really irreverent students had the audacity to ask me how old I was over and over again. I remember one guy saying, "How old are you, mate?" And I ignored him, and he says, "Mate," I said, "how old are you?" And I said, "Old enough." He says, "No, I asked you how old you are." Never in America would that happen. Just want to tell you. I don't know what your issue is, but I should say issues are. I think the next youngest faculty member was 8 years older than me. I'm not positive about that. And bless him, Dan Wu and his sweet Asian genes is still looking 8 years younger than me. I felt I didn't have enough experience to come in and train people that were training for ministry or that were my age or older. I also thought I wasn't smart enough. I looked around at the faculty that were here already and realized they had published books and articles and were really experts in their field, and I did not feel that. I felt underqualified. Another day I'll tell you about how bad my interview was with Mark and Andrew and the silly things that I said in that interview that were quite exposing of my feelings of inadequacy. But also, I didn't grow up here. Obviously, I'm not from Sydney, and I didn't come through college. I didn't have the same networks as others. I didn't feel as though I belonged in the same sense. I felt like an outsider. And it's so common to us to have that imposter syndrome. And sadly, I worry that people in our churches feel the same. I worry that people are really uncertain about if they belong. They really question if they have a place. They fear that they're not really loved. And in a way, I think that people may easily question why or how this could be the best community when they feel such deep insecurity. Now, the trouble with that kind of insecurity, or maybe even a false sense of security, is that it thinks of the church too much like other communities in the world. It thinks of belonging in the church like other social clubs. It considers security and insecurity like I did about my job here at Moore College, something based on my credentials or my networks or my age or my suitability. Today, I want to encourage us, in view of God's word, to reconsider the foundation of Christian community. I want us to see again, I hope, in a refreshing way, really refreshing and surprising way, perhaps, how the gospel gives us a different and more secure sense of belonging. Our place is not based on ourselves, but on another. And this radically changes our experience of community. And my prayer for all of us today, I was praying for you this morning, I'm praying for me still, is that we would be freed in this message to love one another. That this demand of loving each other that's based on our lives would be based on what we've known, the love that God has given to us. And that we would see that actually in our showing love, we actually have a chance of knowing more of God's love and being perfected in that love. And so we're going to read down in 1 John chapter 4. We'll start in verse 7. And since I'm going to be reading, I'll just read you portions of it when we go through it. Let's read the whole thing. Why not? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, and God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we've loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one's ever seen God. But if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he's given us of his Spirit. And we've seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And so we've come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Our passage starts with that command, that call, if you will, to love one another. It's an expectation of the community. But before we go forward, I just want to ask you what you think that love would entail. What does it mean to love one another? And I suspect if I were to go around this room and ask many of you about what that would look like, could look like, should look like, we'd have different answers. What I'm thankful for is that John tells us exactly what it could be and should be. It's defined for us here in our passage. He tells us in verse 8 and verse 16 that God is love. The source of all life, the creator and the sustainer of the world is pure love. We have a definition that comes from God himself. And I love asking my kids this at bedtime. I say, and I asked them even just this last week, how do you know that God loves you? How do you know it? You can answer that in a lot of different ways, but John tells us very specifically how we know it. In verses 9 and 10, in this, the love of God was made manifest among you, or among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. There's the greatest gift. God has sent his Son to show love to us in a very physical way. More so, in this is love, not that we loved God, but God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Notice that love is defined by God. It's defined by the very being of God, his character, and the actions that flow out of his character. It's selfless and it's unconditional. And I love that it's not new. It's the way that God has always loved. If you think back to the way that he called the nation of Israel, and you think about that rich passage in Deuteronomy 7 where it tells us about God's election of Israel. Do you remember what he says? He says that he had chosen Israel to be his people, a special people that are holy unto him. But he did not choose them to be a special people because they were a special people, or they were the most numerous or anything else. He chose them because of his great love and his faithfulness to his promises. It was grounded in him. And likewise, when God gave his Son, Jesus, it's not for good people, rich people, polite people, the right ethnicity people, or anything else. He gave his Son for sinners. And we need to remember that, and we need to remember that in the context of community, because the election that led to your salvation is the same foundation for your place in the community. What God brings together, his people together, is based on his election, his great love. Neither you or I are here because of anything in us. We're here because God's gracious and loved us. He loved us when we didn't love him. And so the foundation of our community as Christians is not something that you or I have initiated. It's nothing that we've contributed. It's the selfless, unconditional love of God shown to us in Jesus. And to belong here then is to know that love. It's to know something given freely, and it's to know, in short, God himself, because God is love. But now, belonging here, it demands something of us. When you know the love of God, you're impacted and you're changed. And the kind of love that you've known has changed the way now that you should show forth love to others. You'll love them like you've been shown love. You'll love them selflessly and unconditionally. This is why John says in verses 7 and 8, let us love one another because love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. If we don't love, we don't know God. And he sharpens this a little bit in verse 11. He says, if God has so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If it computes with us more than just in our heads, this thing that we can recite by memory, and it actually articulates into our hearts, it changes us profoundly. And that takes shape in the way that we love one another in a community. Without God's grace, we would love in a way that's comfortable, that's conformable to our interests. I would love others when it's convenient for me. I wouldn't give more than I could at personal expense. I wouldn't do something that's disruptive to my life. But the love that we've been shown by God in Jesus, that was costly. That love was inconvenient, and it was disruptive. You know the memory verse of John 3:16. 1 John 3:16 is a great other verse to memorize. By this we know love, that he, Jesus, laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. You see how that parallels what John has already said in verses 9 and 10, the showing forth of love? It's this selfless, unconditional love that God has offered to us. Jesus laid down his life. And now the demand on us is we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. In a Christian community, I suspect that we can be in danger of mistaking worldly love for Christian love. And in doing so, I think we can be duped into thinking that our community is something more than it actually is, when really all it's doing is mimicking the world around us. We can serve, but only do so when it's convenient. We can relate, but only do in a way that's comfortable. We can give, but only when it doesn't cost so much. We can engage, but only when it's not really disruptive to my other interests. And in doing so, all we're doing is repeating what we see elsewhere. We have another version of a social club that's tailored to our interests, a club that we've initiated, a club that we've decided how we'll participate on our own terms. But instead, as Christian community, genuine Christian community, we're built upon the selfless and unconditional love of God shown to us in Christ. And it demands something different of us, a different way of being. We love one another because we know the love of God. And this gets us to a second thing. So far, I've been trying to persuade you that we must love one another because we've known the love of God. The next thing I want us to consider is that we need to love one another to show the love of God. And this comes through really clearly in verse 12. It's one of my favorite verses because I find it really surprising and wonderful. Listen what John says in verse 12. No one has ever seen God. If you remember John 1:18, you remember that no one's ever seen the Father. The only one who's at the Father's side has made him known. That kind of verse where Jesus comes to manifest God to us. Jesus comes to manifest the love of God to us. But now there's something said more. No one's ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. In verse 13, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he's given us of his Spirit. John tells us that we love one another because in doing so, in a really wonderful and mysterious way, we make God visible to one another. You haven't seen God, but God actually remains in you, dwells in you, abides in you, and with you when you love. We who believe in the Lord Jesus, who have confessed him to be the Son of God, John tells us, have the Spirit of God in us. And so our experience of God is not something vague. We experience God. We know God. He dwells with us. He's even present among us most clearly when we gather together. And when we love one another, God is made visible. I used to think that when I came to church, Jesus was present, kind of in the empty chair next to Andrew or something. It was sort of this ghostly, weird, spiritual way of thinking, because I knew that he said, where two or more gathered, he's with us. And I kind of thought, well, I know he's here. I can't see him. You know, I won't sit on him just in case. But something different, I think, John tells us is true. When we come together, Jesus is present with us, abiding with us by his Spirit, which means that when I see you and when you see me, we see Spirit-indwelt people. You're a brother and a sister in Christ. I am a brother in Christ. And therefore, when we meet together, we meet with God as we meet together. Now, that's a really profound thing. And I think that really ups the stakes for what it means to come together as God's people. It adds significance to the thing we're doing when it feels very ordinary. It means chapel like this is important because we're actually experiencing God in a fuller, richer way as we come together in love in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's many implications of this, of course, but I want to draw your attention to one. Our knowledge, indeed, our enjoyment of God and our experience of God is deeply connected to our relationship with his people. We need one another on the journey of faith. And I know you know that. That's really actually at the core of why this is a residential college. It's because we have to keep coming together. That's by design. And so much of pop evangelical messages around, especially coming out of my homeland, talk about the kind of ways we just think about me and Jesus. I understand that to some degree. But even in my own upbringing, I used to think, you know, Sundays, my time to do business with God, lights down, eyes shut, tune out the world. This is my time with God. I'm going to have some kind of moment here. Interestingly, COVID and modern technology have done other things in that realm. We've made church a private experience in one sense by putting everything online and doing everything from the comfort of our lounge room and our gym jams, right? We just sit there with popped popcorn and kind of tune out a little bit, shut our eyes maybe, and just listen at 1.5 speed to get through it as quick as we can. See, though, a necessary component of our life with God is being with his people. We meet with God as we meet with one another. I think this truth is so practical. How many times have you needed direction in life and you kind of just shut your eyes and, what am I doing, Lord? What do my guts feel? Where should I go? And instead, you could actually just meet with somebody and say, I feel stuck. What do you think I should do? Would you pray with me? And they might call to mind something in Scripture that's really pertinent to your dilemma. How about when you have a practical need for finances or resources and somebody says, hey, I see your need and I'm just going to let you know, I'm really glad to meet that. I'm going to meet you where you are and give to you exactly what you need. How much better is that than kind of waiting for the lottery to win? You know, I mean, honestly, it could be random and some kind of miraculous thing that we think kind of just happens 1 in a million chance. But actually, it's pretty miraculous when people love each other selflessly and give at great cost. And we say thanks to God for your love. When we love one another, we're shown God. God dwells in us by his Spirit. And therefore, when we love, we show God's goodness to one another as the Spirit leads us in goodness and love. He abides with us, remains with us as we love. And so our experience of God is not something distant or vague, but it's personal and it's intimate. We know God's love in rich and meaningful ways as we love one another. And it gets us to our final point that actually we must love one another to be perfected in the love of God. We love because we've known the love of God. We love to show the love of God. And actually, we love because in doing so, we're perfected in love. And I know you know perfection and what that means because you're students. So it means completed. We're completed in love. None of us are here because we've arrived. All of us continue to be transformed. And so our life now is lived in preparation for eternity. And the place where God has designed for us to grow is among his people. That's where we're being transformed. That's where we're being prepared. I love watching progress in people's lives. It's a bit like my kids, right? I see my kids every day. They look about this high. Tomorrow, they look about this high. But if I were to go away for 5 months, I would see, you know, some kind of crazy growth. I would say, wow, you've shot up. And occasionally you see the growth spurt. You think, wow, they're really in a spurt right now. They're really just stretching out. Same thing's true, actually, in Christian life. We don't notice the growth as you come through here. Daily things are happening. You're developing. You're maturing. You're growing. But I tell you, one of my favorite things about college is watching people from first year to fourth year. I mean, what profound change happens in those years? And unlike our height, there isn't a cap. We keep maturing. We keep growing. and being perfected in love. I began by mentioning insecurity as a real struggle for us in our quest for belonging. And I think John addresses that head on in this passage when he says in verse 18 about fear. Sorry, verse 17. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. He engages our insecurities. And in verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Fear, we could say, is insecurity. Because fear, like insecurity, remains where there is threat of judgment. If I'm insecure, I feel like I'm going to be judged. I feel like I'm going to be found wanting. I feel like I might be excluded because of inadequacies, insufficiencies, whatever it may be in me. And so fear is a very strong force in our social interactions, but because God has shown us perfect love, our fear should be cast out. Think about the gospel truth for a fresh, just for a moment. God has given us his Son to make us acceptable to him. If God has given such a one as this, what more could be asked of you? What more would you need to fear if his Son has been given on your behalf? What more do you need to offer? Nothing. There is no fear before God because of Jesus. Which means then that we should love one another differently. Because the gospel transforms our outlook on one another too. Our place in the community is in Christ, which means you're not a threat to me anymore. Nor am I a threat to you. Because I have nothing to hold over you in society. Nor are we rivals, competitors, anything else. We are God's children, mutual inheritors, redeemed sinners. That's what we are. And so I can love you because you're you. I can love you where you are, in the midst of whatever life circumstances that you're in, without demanding from you. I can love you because I've been loved selflessly and unconditionally. And I can love you and regard you as a spirit-indwelt brother or sister. And here's an important point now. As I love you and care for you, it will be an extension of my love for God. Fascinating, we had Matthew 25 read today. What is it that we have as judgment? It is actually for how we regard the disciples. And so finally, I can also freely receive love from you, because in doing so, I am not threatened by my exposure of not being self-sufficient. Because I know how dependent I am upon God's love. And so here's another thing. Just as I show God's love to you by receiving love from you, it is an extension of my receiving love from God. Together, as we love one another, God dwells in us. He remains among us, and his love is perfected in us. And we are transformed. And so there's a simple command for us that's not burdensome, but beautiful. Whoever loves God must also love his brothers and sisters. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great, selfless, and unconditional love that you've shown to us in Jesus. You loved us when we did not love you, and we love now because you first loved us. And we pray, Father, that we would love accordingly. That gospel truth would free us as we see how perfectly you've loved us in Christ. Would you please perfect us in that love now as we're transformed in this community? Please, Lord, help us, and in so doing, may Christ be honored. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the More College podcast. Our vision as a college is to see God glorified by men and women living for and proclaiming Jesus Christ, growing healthy churches, and reaching the lost. We invite you to attend any of our upcoming events, including this one from the Center for Christian Living.
The world is becoming wealthier and wealthier. Since the turn of the century, the net worth of many countries in the West and in Asia has tripled. Poverty rates have fallen, and life expectancy has increased by more than 6 years. At the same time, the divide between rich and poor has increased, with the richest 1% owning almost 50% of all the world's wealth. We'd love you to join us on the 21st of August when Michael Jensen, rector of St. Mark's Anglican Darling Point, will help us to see our earthly treasure the way our Heavenly Father does.
You can find out more about this and any of our events and register by going to the More College website, more.edu.au. That's more, spelled with two O's, .edu.au. If you have not already done so, we encourage you to subscribe to our podcast through your favorite podcast platform so that you'll never miss an episode. For past episodes, further resources, and to make a tax-deductible donation to support the work of the college and its mission, please visit our website at more.edu.au. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with a friend and leave a review on your platform of choice. We always benefit from feedback from our listeners, so if you'd like to get in touch, you can email us at comms, that's C-O-M-M-S, at more.edu.au. The More College podcast was edited and produced by me, Karen Bielhartz, and the communications team at More Theological College. The music for our podcast was provided by Mark Chalai and Bigsabay. Until next time,